Well, there you have it. Thank you. Should I start over? Yeah, okay. So Jesus had been teaching around the area of Galilee, and as he was doing that, he was also healing, right? We talked about him healing, healed Peter's mother-in-law, healed a leper who came to him. Then he was also teaching and preaching the word of God. And people were amazed at him. They're saying, you know, he doesn't teach like other people teach. He teaches like someone with authority. And so word about Jesus is spreading. And so he goes to Capernaum and he's going to teach in this little house. And those houses were real small. But the place got packed. People came from all around. And they're surrounding. The little courtyards get filled up. Everything's filled up. But what's Jesus doing? He's preaching the word. He's preaching the word. Last time it said he preached the gospel of God. The gospel of God. The salvation that comes from Jesus. The salvation that comes through Jesus, I should say, to us. And Jesus is telling him, that was how Matthew described Jesus. He went through all the towns and villages and healing the sick and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. That's who Jesus was. He was a preacher. He was a teacher, and he was pointing the way to salvation. And it's kind of interesting because that was through him, right? And so he's there, and people want to listen to him. They want to hear what he has to say. And they're so crowded that you can't get through the door. So it says that there were some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then they lowered the mat that the man was laying on. So here you have a crowd of people that's there. And they're there because they've heard Jesus is amazing. And they come and they're crowding around and they want to hear something amazing. They want to see this Jesus, this miracle worker, right? So they're there. And then these four guys come carrying a friend who is paralyzed. Now, you remember in John, there was a guy, you know, hadn't walked in like, what was it, 30 years. And Jesus, you know, and then there was a guy blind from birth. The healings that Jesus does, right, they're not like, sorry, Chris, but it's not like my toe hurts and it's all right. I mean, it's obvious, visible, you know, miraculous healing. It's to make the point, right? So Jesus sees these guys, and why are they coming? They're coming because they believe that Jesus can heal their friend. They're coming out of faith. And they're not going to let anything deter them from getting to Jesus, right? You have that great story of these guys carrying their friend, the courtyard there, small little courtyards, but blocked with people. The door is probably people in and out the door. You can't get through. So what are they going to do? Oh, we'll go up on the roof. Now, these weren't skyscrapers, so you could, you know, one person get up and pull up the stretcher. And they were made out of earth, and you know, so they could dig through the roof. And they drop this guy down in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus see? Jesus sees their faith. Jesus sees their faith. You know, and this is the most important aspect of the gospel. How does the gospel, what makes the gospel work? Your faith in Jesus. These guys had a faith that wouldn't be deterred by crowds, by a roof. They were going to get their friend in front of Jesus because they believed that Jesus could heal. They believed that Jesus could make their paralyzed friend able to walk again. And so Jesus, and you know, do you know Jesus sees it? God loves faith. Not foolish faith like you hear from televangelists telling you to send them money. That's not faith. Faith is about trusting that Jesus can raise you from the dead. That's faith. Faith is about Jesus able to take away and make you right before God, to make you righteous. Faith is about being God's person, becoming God's child, from being a distant person to becoming God's child. And that's what these guys had. They had that kind of faith, right? And so what does Jesus say? He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now this is amazing. These guys are coming. They got this guy, he's paralyzed. They bring him in front of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? You know, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And he also calls him a son. That's a really nice word, a techna. It's a child. We don't even know if it's a, would it say man or woman? I don't know. But it could be child, son, your sins are forgiven. That's not what they came for, is it? They came, but that's what Jesus came for. You see? What's Jesus in that room doing? He's sharing the word. He's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the good news. And the good news is about faith in Jesus and the power to forgive sins. Right? That's what the good news is about. It's about the power of Jesus to transform lives. Jesus possesses the power to forgive sins. Jesus' purpose in coming was to be able to purify us from sin, to make us right with God, not by our own effort, not by us saying, I'm going to get it right one day, but by us saying, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I confess that you are my only help. And Jesus cleanses us, makes us new creatures, makes us new people. Chris was talking about makes us aliens in this world. We become a part of the kingdom of God, a different culture, because of what Jesus does. So you had the guys that came just to see something. You had the guys that came in faith wanting to bring their friend to be healed. And then you had the scholars. That's probably a better word, teachers of law. But they're just called scholars down there at the bottom. You got the word there, They were sitting there, and when they saw Jesus say to the young man, your sins are forgiven, they didn't say it out loud. They said in their heart, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. That's blasphemy, right? Now, why did these guys come? Why did they come? Why did they come to that little house? Why did they want to listen to Jesus? They didn't come because they believed in him and they weren't looking for anything good. They were there to bring an accusation. They were there to find fault. They were there to try to trip him up because that was their heart. That's who they were. There was something wrong. These guys knew enough. They knew that only God could forgive sins. They knew from the law. They were experts in the law as far as knowing the words. But their heart was so far away from God. When Jesus is standing, when God is standing right there in the very same room, they couldn't recognize him and they didn't want to recognize him. They wanted to throw him out, throw him under the bus, get rid of him, right? And their attitude. So they came to stop Jesus. They came to find fault with Jesus, right? Jesus is amazing. Jesus knew. It says, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. So you see, it's their hearts that aren't right with God. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, which nobody can see, by the way, right? Or to say to him, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. And actually, that might be, I want it to be possible for you to know. It's a subjunctive verb. It's not, I want you to know. I come that you may know. He's giving them the opportunity to know that he had authority to forgive sins. He's giving them an opportunity. Even though they came to find fault, they came to attack. He's not fighting back. He's not trying to argue with them. He said, I came that you might understand, that you might get it, that you might see the truth and realize that I have authority to forgive sins. And then, so which is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. And then he turns to the child of God, and he says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately, just like, the miracles in John, he gets up. And again, that whole idea of the physiological, what happens to legs that are weak. You know, the gate beautiful in Acts. You know, it's like you haven't used those things in quite a long time. You're carrying around a mat, and all of a sudden you can get up. You're starting, and you're on your way. You know. So Jesus was there, and it says, you know, that the people, they saw that they were amazed. It says this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The people got what they were looking for. They came to be amazed, and my goodness, they were amazed. They saw a paralyzed man get up and walk out of the room, right? It's amazing. So all these people came into that little space in that little town to get something out of Jesus, right? And Jesus addressed everyone. He amazed those who came to see something amazing so that they might know that there is such a thing as an amazing Savior who can forgive sin. And for those that came to have an argument, He wins the argument. He proves to them, you know, I want you to know, I want you to see the possibility that I can forgive sins. I want you to see it. Doesn't mean they're going to, but I want you to see it. And the guy gets up. And then the guys with faith, they had, you know, they walked home with the guy, you know, and they had him as a living testimony that Jesus Christ had authority to forgive sins. It's an amazing thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. Mark wants us to know. What's the main thing? He wants us to know Jesus Christ has authority to forgive sins. Now, we're going to keep going. So once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. Again, that's right on the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd came to him, and he began teaching them. And he walked along, and he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at a tax collector's booth. And he said, "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. So here it is again. Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching. Now we the way Mark puts these things, he walks up to Peter, "Come, follow me." They drop their nets and they go. John, James, "Come, follow me." They drop the, you know, "See you, Dad, we're gone," you know. It's like they just went. Well, they heard Jesus. And when Jesus invited them, I mean, if you were in that house or near that house and Jesus said, "Do you want to come with me?" Say, "I'm going. Yeah, I'll be there, you know. Yeah, I'll drop my nets." And Levi gets up and he leaves his tax. Now, we know about tax collectors, like the IRS. But this is the RIS, which is the Roman, you know, yeah. They're Roman tax collectors, and they were looked on as traitors by the people. They were really despised because they were seen as guys that would play both sides of the street, so to speak. You know, "We're going to be with the Romans, we'll be part of you." And they were cheating often, taking more money and keeping it, and that kind of thing. So they were not respected people. They were looked upon as vile guys. But Levi gets up and follows Jesus. Now, Jesus goes to Levi's house, right? It says, while he was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. In other words, Levi's, they all know about Jesus now in that little area. And Levi gets up and follows. "Hey, let's go, you know, hang out with Levi at his house and sit there." So there were all these sinners and tax collectors, you know, not the pristine, you know, really kind, good-natured or people that looked like they were good. These were people that didn't look right. They were sinners. And it's something that a person of the law would avoid. You don't want to sit with sinners. You don't want to be around sinners, right? And so they do that. They come and they say, when the teachers of the law, same word as before, who were Pharisees, saw them eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he spending time with those vile people? Is it going to rub off or something?" You know. And Jesus gives, like, perfect, great answer. He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous," not the righteous, but sinners. Now, it's, you know, so obviously, you know, Jesus the physician, Jesus the one who can heal sin, Jesus who has power and authority to forgive sin, Jesus who is the center of the gospel of God from chapter 1, right? He says to these guys, he says, you know, I didn't come to call the righteous. What does it mean to call? To proclaim the good news. He's not saying, I'm going to, you know, this is my new family. He's saying, I'm here to tell them about the gospel. I'm here to tell them that there's forgiveness for sin. I'm here to tell them that God has a plan for them to know Him, to walk with Him, to be with Him, to be His. That's why I'm hanging out with sinners. You know, some of us have jobs and stuff there where we're always kind of surrounded by, you know, sinners, people that don't know Christ. And some, I always think about this, when someone's put in your life, when someone's, you know, got that relationship, do you think that it's an accident that you're in that relationship? Do you think it's an accident that God puts you with someone who doesn't know Him? Or do you see it as, okay, God wants me to do something to share with this person that they need Jesus Christ? And sometimes that could just simply be carry the character of Christ around and do what's right. It can be, you know, to do your job really well. The way you speak. Again, Chris was talking about, you know, the idea of being an alien, you know, being from a different culture, the culture of Christ, inside of a culture that's not of Christ. It stands out. We speak a different language. We think a different way. Our work, everything about us should say something or make opportunity to say something about Christ. You know, there's we're talking about this drug house across the way here. And I've thought about it. I say, you know, I don't want them to mess with our property and I don't want them to steal things from them, but I do want them to hear the gospel. If I had time this morning, I was thinking of putting a speaker on the front porch and letting it go out there. You know, they might hear that Jesus Christ has the authority and the power to forgive sins, right? You know, I mean, seriously, we do VBS. Why do we do it? I get kids that cuss us out and call us cheaters and all that kind of stuff, right? Why do we do that? Why do we put up with that? Because we want them to hear that there's a Savior who can forgive sins, that He has the authority and the power to bring them as children of God to Him. That's Mark. That's Mark's presentation of Jesus. The power and authority. And He doesn't just keep it to Himself. He's among sinners, calling them. Doesn't say He's saving them. It says He's calling them. Giving them, just like the guys in the house that questioned Him, give them the opportunity that they might believe, that they might hear, that they might understand there's a Savior. You know, sometimes those relationships that we have, they might go years without bearing any kind of opportunity or fruit. And then sometimes something happens and they know who you are. They know what you stand for. And when they want to reach out for help, they might call you. They might talk to you. They might ask you. I've literally had that happen, you know, at different times. And sometimes it's like some of the most awesome work goes on when they, you know, when they finally break for some reason. And then they hey, will you pray for me? Or, hey, will you help me? Can you explain this to me? Or whatever it is, right? So we're going to celebrate the Lord's table if our servers would come forward.